We listen to the word of God from Matthew, from there chapter 27, from verse 62, and continuing on to chapter 28, verse 15. Matthew 27, from verse 62. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Jesus is dead. Finally, the Jews thought. After 3 years of making a lot of trouble for them, this impostor who caused so much trouble for them was killed. The one who made so many false statements and taught so much falsehoods about himself, who called himself the Son of God and turned people away from the Jewish tradition, according to them, away from God and away from the Jews to be their disciples. Everything had just been a great scam. The miracles where people were healed and the preaching as if he had authority, everything ends up in nothing because Jesus is dead. His kingdom that he said that he will rise, his kingdom that he wanted to establish, was nipped in the bud. His deception of an entire nation comes to an end with his death. And now the people can return back again to the feet of the Pharisees to be taught by them again, at the feet of the high priest to be served by them. They can return from this uproar that was caused, and they will come again to listen to the truth that the Pharisees will preach to them. However, this prophecy that this deceiver concerning his resurrection on the third day has given, they still remember vaguely that he said something about this. That he said that he will rise again after 3 days. Now, it could be the words that Jesus had spoken to them in Matthew 12, where the Lord told them the sign of Jonah, that as Jonah came out of the belly of the fish in 3 days, the same way, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days, and he will rise from the death. Or maybe the words of John 2, where Jesus said, if you tear down this temple, I will build it in 3 days. I will raise it up in 3 days. And maybe this is also one of the lies that he told all the people. But just as a precaution, you have to think one step ahead of this imposter. Because maybe he indoctrinated all of his followers, these disciples, to maybe steal his body, and they cannot be trusted either. So the grave will have to be guarded, and it will be made sure the body is not stolen. Because how convenient is this now for his followers, the disciples, just to come and steal the body on the Sabbath day when none of the Jews can actually guard or work and guard the tomb. This is the ideal opportunity for the followers to come and steal the body if none of the Jewish leaders can see to it that the body actually stays in the grave. So Pilate will be asked to give a guard to guard the tomb against the followers of the imposter. And these guards know that if they fall asleep while they have to be on duty, that they will be killed, they will lose their lives. So the Jewish leaders will make doubly sure that nothing happens by sealing the tomb as well. So if the seal is broken, it will be an indication that something happened, that maybe then the disciples came and stole the body. This is the background for the Jews when Jesus' resurrection takes place. They do precise planning to stop any further deception of this imposter and his followers, that no one shall be deceived by them again. And this background is a very important testimony against the Jews, because here it comes to the climax of everything, that their mistrust, their necessary precautions, and their false accusations, exactly that is what the Lord will use against them. Yet they do not realize at that stage what a great role they play in the resurrection. What a great role they play in the historical certainty of the resurrection. They think they're just taking precautions to prevent any further fraud. And now, brothers and sisters, it brings us to the question for ourselves, with what state of mind do you come to church? Are you excited that it's Sunday? Maybe you go to church just to get the church visit behind you. Then you can rest for the rest of the day. But what do you do with the fact that you do come to church on a Sunday? What is the mindset that you come to church with? And what do you take from here into the rest of your week, into the rest of your life? On this Resurrection Sunday, we are called back anew to the meaning of every Sunday in our lives. And the understanding with what attitude we come to church and with what attitude we should go into the world. In chapter 28, we hear the Lord tells the message of the consummation of the gospel through two groups of people, the two Marys and the guards, that both receive the message of the gospel. Both see exactly what's going on. They see all the facts there. And both groups, both the Marys and the guards, become the first bearers of the gospel. Both of them go and preach the gospel to other people. So the first group of people who went to proclaim the gospel were the guards. And they were appointed, as we've heard, to guard the body of Jesus, to guard the tomb. So for how long they've been appointed is uncertain. On the Sabbath day, on the Saturday, things are going well and everything is peaceful. But with sunrise the next morning, their world is completely turned upside down. But there's an earthquake and an angel appears to them. And when they see the angel, we read that they became like the dead. That absolute fear overwhelmed them. It's not just for the unbelievers, for the Romans, even the shepherds, everybody, the angels appear to, they become like dead when they see the angels. So they are the living, placed there to guard the dead, but they become dead after the living rose from the dead. That this anxiety overwhelmed them and they became utterly afraid. So out of fear, they ran away and they proclaimed the gospel. They went and told the truth. So the guards tell about Jesus' body that's not even there and it wasn't stolen. The body's just gone. So after the angel appeared, they in some way saw that the tomb was empty. And they ran away and told exactly that. But the truth they bring out is so much deeper than just that. They were there to guard Jesus as the imposter. That he was the one pulling a veil over everybody's eyes. But maybe everything he said beforehand is true. Because they have no other explanation about what happened. So the end is that the task wasn't uncomplicated. The body they had to take care of with their lives was gone, and they had no idea how that could have happened. It's impossible because the tomb was sealed. Now the Pharisees must quickly make a plan to offset all these events. Other people will quickly find out about this, and then they have to give an answer to people who ask them, why is it so? Why is the tomb empty? So they make a plan that the guard should say that the disciples did come and they did steal the body while they were sleeping. So at the first opportunity that came to the guards, they denied the gospel and they took the bribe and they testified against the truth. The gospel didn't have any meaning for them. The Holy Spirit didn't work in them. They became like the dead, not just because they were afraid, but also for the gospel of Christ. They became dead. And yet it's wonderful to see how the Lord works. That he uses these Pharisees to seal the tomb, that no deception can take place. They go to great lengths to make false claims that Jesus is an imposter. And now the exact opposite is happening. That those who made the allegations of fraud are now the very people who commit the fraud. That the Pharisees and the chief priests become what they accuse Jesus of with the fulfillment of the gospel, with the resurrection. That they become the deceivers. They become the people who lie to the other people and saying that this is not what happened. That their false accusations against Jesus now coming back to point to them. That Jesus is the truth. The resurrection is the truth. But what happened is it's testifying against them. It accuses them of being sinners. So do you see the irony in this? That precisely what they guarded against, precisely what they took meticulous steps to guard against, is exactly what happened. So they made doubly sure that it cannot happen, and then it happened. And they have to make a lie, they have to invent a lie to make something believable. But the lies catch up with them. So the question is, how is it possible that they can know that the disciples stole the body while they were sleeping? How can they know exactly it was the disciples who came and stole the body if they were asleep? It's impossible. They were taken from other jobs and put exactly there to guard against that. That was their only job. They had one job. How could the disciples remove the seal from the stone without the guards waking up? How can they remove the stone without the guards waking up? Further questions would arise. Why did the soldiers not receive the punishment that they deserved? They actually had to be killed for that, but they were rewarded for taking a nap. All these questions testify against the Pharisees. And this is how the Lord also revealed himself to the Gentiles. All the physical signs are there. They are open and clear for them to see. They know exactly what happened. Jesus said, I will rise from the third day. And he did exactly that. But they do not believe. Rather, they will distort the truth that is before their eyes. And not only to deceive others, but themselves, but also other people. So their lies overtake them. They do not want to hear the truth. They don't want to know the truth. But the truth testifies against them. But brothers and sisters, this precaution of the Jews also serves as proof for us. We also see in nature the evidence of God, that he's the creator, but also through the Holy Spirit working in us, through his word, that we can see our Lord Jesus Christ has risen. We hear the same event happening and the effect on the Marys. They also didn't have it better at the beginning. They just had exact same bad perception of what would happen. The angel also appeared to them. But his words testify against them. They said, you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, indicating that they thought, they didn't think he was the crucified, resurrected Jesus, but they thought he was dead. They came to the dead Jesus. The other Gospels indicate they came to treat the decaying body. All understanding they had better is that they did not suspect the disciples of theft. They just thought he was dead. But the Lord sends his angel to bring a message to his children. On great occasions, the angels come and they bring messages to his children. And here the Lord gives this invitation. Do not be afraid. Come and see. There's the place where he lay. He was raised from the dead. In other words, there need to be no fear in your lives. You are not like the heathen who have to devise schemes to try to fabricate a truth. But the truth is there to be known and set you free and to comfort you. Therefore, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of any lies. Do not be afraid of any false religions and false ideas. And also, do not be afraid of death, because it was conquered. Jesus didn't just come back to life and experience a mere merging of body and spirit, but he's the firstborn from the dead. That he shows what will happen to us too, that in him the human nature is restored, both in body and soul, to a sinless state, a perfect state. That his new body had a distinctive new characteristics, that he ate with his disciples later on and he touched them. But he also moved through these physical barriers, through this sealed tomb, through a closed door, a locked door. So Jesus was already out of the tomb before the angel came, before the angel removed the seal from the tomb. So he went out of the tomb even before any eye saw him. So he rose with a resurrected, glorified body. So there was a certain act of God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit involved here in the resurrection. The sacrifice the Son brought, this sinless life, was accepted by God. So the proof that the debt has been satisfied, has been provided, this punishment was fully borne. The will of the Father is done. That God further confirms the last enemy of man, death, is conquered. And that God himself comes to confirm for us, his children, that Jesus was never in his life, not for a single moment, this imposter, this deceiver of what he was accused of. That his whole life, everything he did, everything he said, was truth. That his word is trustworthy. That every prophecy that was delivered came true, was fulfilled by him. That God the Father's promises have come true in him. Every one of his words is declared true by his resurrection. Each one of his miracles is proven it was to the glory of God with his resurrection. And the Lord himself frees his followers, his disciples, from the insinuations that they too are deceivers. That no man, no creature can bring any accusations against the children of the Lord when they testify the gospel. When they say that this is the truth, that Jesus has risen. That God the Father himself comes and confirms that Jesus is the truth and the word, life and the way. You see how God reveals this to his children to see and understand and know the truth. This physical proof of which is there, which is used to care of this empty tomb and the seal that was broken. But now the Lord comes and he strengthens his children's faith, not only through nature, but also through his word, through the messenger that comes and proclaims the gospel to them. And then he also gives the instruction to the Marys, see the good news, see the empty tomb, and go and take this what you see and carry this into the world and proclaim it to the other people who need to hear that. They should not be kept quiet. This should be told to other people. So the women are given the instruction to go and spread the gospel. Unlike the guards who just ran away in fear, the women are sent, deliberately sent, to preach the gospel. So through the woman, the death and life enters, but Christ comes and brings total peace and restores all relationships, and they become the bearers of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, every Sunday we come to church. And the Lord's message is the same for us. The Lord reveals himself to us. He appears to us as well through his word. He shows us that he's not dead through his word and the Holy Spirit working in us. And the message for us is the same. Do not be afraid. Come to church. Listen to the word of God and see Christ is risen. But sometimes the problem for us is the message stops there. We stop listening after the invitation is extended to us to come and see. We are here now. What more should we do? And it often looks like this when we look at our actions in worship and society. That we are not at all busy proclaiming the triumphant Christ to conquer death. That we are not also thinking that we are sent to go and preach this gospel. That there are people who need to hear this good news. Every Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every Sunday is the Lord's Day, the day we celebrate that he conquered death. Every Sunday, we hear, do not be afraid. Jesus paid for your sins. Come and worship. Come and see. Come and see the empty tomb. And go and tell also other people that Jesus has risen. What you've seen here, what you've seen at church, what you've seen on a Sunday when the Lord reveals himself through his word and you see the risen Christ, it should change you to be joyful. It should change you to not be afraid. It should change you to not be silent. The Lord uses us and comforts us every Sunday through his gospel. To show himself to us, to show the empty tomb. That we are comforted, that the truth sets us free. That we come to church with great joy. But the Lord also gives us the courage to go out and tell this to the world. That Jesus has risen. Amen.